following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to turn 125 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast based on the Blizzard game Hearthstone. I am Black Lace, and with me in the studio is Autumn's Bane.
Druids who spend too long in bear form are more susceptible to the whispers of the old gods. Right now, they are whispering the lyrics to La Bamba.
I feel like just saying, you are not prepared, but I'm not going to. Addled Grizzly.
Yeah, did I do that last week?
Three casting costs. I don't know.
Oh, I think that's the one I was going to do last week, and it was preempted with something.
I think Wisps of the Old God? I don't know. But Addled Grizzly, which we discussed last week when we did the Druid.
We did.
Which is a cool card. You know, after you summon a minion, give it +1/+1. It's a 2/2 beast, and I was saying how much I really liked that card. It's a good card.
Uh-huh, it is. I got it used against me just earlier today.
So I had this is absolutely the best time this week, and this is absolutely the worst thing this week. Which one do you want to hear first?
You choose.
How about the absolute worst? We'll get the worst out of the way. I got the absolute worst legendary I could have possibly gotten. I was so excited. I opened a pack. And I hovered. Everybody does that, I'm sure. You hover just to see what kind of glow is going to come around your card. And it was golden. Orangish golden. And I was all excited. And then I got the worst legend ever.
Well, one of the worst. I don't know if it's the worst because it's only specific use. But why don't you tell everyone what you got?
For two casting costs, you too can get a 2/4 creature that basically gives your opponent a 50% chance of drawing an extra card on their turn. Which, if you have one of those
mill decks,
yep, it would work well with. And I actually saw a mill deck in the Brawl this week, which was kind of interesting, which backfired in somebody's face, but we'll talk about that later too. But other than being for a mill deck, why? I mean, really, for two casting costs, it's only a 2/4 creature, and it gives them a chance to get a card.
It's really the only chance.
Yeah.
He's a 2/4 minion for how much?
2.
So it's not like he's a big bargain.
No, usually, he's crappy.
Usually when you give your opponent something, it's because you get a really good bargain. I mean, 2/4 for 2 is a little ahead of the curve, but not that far. Not enough to give your opponent that kind of reward.
Yeah. So, sorry, and we know how much you love giving them rewards.
It's clearly for a mill deck.
Yeah. So, yuck. Icky. I don't like it. I was very disappointed, and that's the closest I have come to, but I'm like a completionist, but that's the closest I have come to actually saying, I think I'm just going to dust it. Came really, really close.
Well, why didn't you?
Because, well,
you'll have half the dust to make a legendary that you like, and you wanted to make Vandril Staghelm.
Right, which I can make, but then I can make the card that I got way back in beta. An alpha. No, beta. Beta. Way back in beta. And then never saw again.
Yes, I know.
Scenarios.
That was Scenarios.
Yes, it was. So I can actually make Scenarios if I dust this piece of... Yes. I guess it would be just trading in Nat for... Did we even say his name? The card is Nat the Darkfisher. I don't think we even said
no,
what it was.
No, I don't think he even said his name.
It was just not worth it. So Nat the Darkfisher, but it would just be like, actually, it would be like kind of trading in Nat the Darkfisher for a decent legend, only I don't get as much dust.
No, you'd only get half a legend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unlike when I dusted my golden vellum.
Right.
Then I got a full legend in place.
So now, yeah. Peh. I was very disappointed. It was still a legend, but...
Well, you're talking about making legends for a druid deck, and you never play druid.
Yeah, but that's just such a cool card. Okay. I mean, really, it's just... That druid card is enough to make me want to play a druid. So anyway, that was my worst legend ever. That was my worst moment of the week in Hearthstone. My best moment of the week? Every single time I went into a brawl. Every time. Oh my god.
Well, not
best
every time.
Brawl ever. No,
it was.
Come on. It really was the best brawl
it's
ever.
It's clobbering time. This was the best brawl ever. I played it more times than I usually do. In fact, every quest I got this week, I went in and within 10 minutes cleared the quest queue. It didn't matter what class I played. I would win 2 to 3 games for every one I lost, so it was worth it.
I want to play this forever.
The games only lasted like 5 minutes. None of this make a deck and then play for 25 minutes and then
and
lose
if you could,
and go
you know,
all
and
over
if you
again.
Could see it coming, if you could, there are times that you were like, no, there's no way I'm going to win this. So boom, you're done. Just concede, go to the next one. I mean, it was freaking awesome. So basically the theory behind it was you pick your top two favorite cards that you think have a synergy and your whole deck becomes those cards pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you work with it. And I saw so many incredible things. I just have to say one thing. Crosley, one of our faithful listeners, sent me a message that he literally played. He had 75 wins this week. He played it that often. That is his all-time high in wins. 75 wins with that concept.
Well, first of all, congrats, Crossley. Second of all, you need to get a life.
No.
But, you know, let's start from the beginning. What's the first deck you made? Or did you instantly go and look one up?
No, the first deck I made sucked so bad.
So did mine, but let's hear it.
It was Manowarm, which sounds good. At first, Manowarm was really good when you paired it with magic missiles, which is not what I did. I paired it with mirror image, thinking that I would get, you know, to pump the Manowarm and have lots of little taunt guys out. Oh man, I was just basically blown away by that little mech walker. Pairing that
right,
so many people
used. Let's talk
about
the mech walker, which is not really a mech walker, in a few minutes.
Okay. So yeah, that was my... It did not work. Absolutely did not work. I did invent one that I'll have to talk to you about in a little bit that actually did work. That was hysterical. I didn't expect it to, but that's based on last week. But what did you do for your first one?
So I took my favorite combination, and my favorite combination is Sylvanas Windrunner and Brawl, because no matter what happens, you get the surviving minion. So I love that combination.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I realized that it would only be those two cards. I think I kind of thought in the back of my head that there'd be other cards mixed in, but those would be the two primary ones, or maybe not. But my big failure was that they both cost so much mana that by the time I got to play it one time, I was annihilated. So I realized early on that whatever I played had to have fairly low casting costs, with one exception, which... Should I talk about that now?
Yeah, why not? That was another invention of yours. There's a similar one that was very... We'll talk about that in a minute, but go for it.
There were a lot of decks that we saw, many variants on the theme, and when I saw them, I said, hey, that's a great idea, I'll do it. But one that I did on my own was I played a druid, and they used Innervate and Dr. Boom. And
okay,
it was wrong.
So a lot of warlocks were using cool decks too, and one great combination was the Fist of Jiraxxus with Soulfire. His Fist of Jiraxxus costs 4, Soulfire only costs 1. But Fist of Jiraxxus, when you play or discard this, deal 4 damage to a random enemy. So it would knock out my minions.
Yeah.
It would go to my face. And the Soulfire itself, of course, did some damage too. So that was a great combo. Soulfire deals, yep, for those who may not know, one casting cost, deal 4 damage, discard a random card. So you'd time it so that you'd be discarding the Fists of Jiraxxus, and it just worked beautifully when
User
it worked.
Left your channel.
Yeah, I have one other combination I wanted to talk to you about, but it kind of goes hand in hand with an email we received.
Okay.
So I'm going to read the email, and then I'm going to tell you what I did.
Okay.
All right. The email was from our friend Nosferatu, and I love how he spells it, NOSE4AH2, Nosferatu. Anyway, Black Lace and Autumn Zane, really enjoyed the last 2 episodes, but especially last week. Keep up the silly Black Lace. What's he talking about? Never silly.
I don't know. You're never silly.
Okay. Anyway, I look forward to seeing your Fiery Bat Tundra Rhino combo deck on the ladder for the win. Onensbane mentioned how difficult the first week of May was in standard rank play. I ran into the same trouble, hovering between ranks 20 and 18, until I started playing Loyan's Bloodlust Tempo Shaman. Wow, is this deck great. I found it on Hearthpawn. It is not my deck, but it helped me move up the ladder, currently rank 13, and gets quests done relatively easily. It's a fun deck that trades minions for board supremacy, then goes to the face. You have to think a few turns ahead as to best how to handle overload, especially with Flame Wreath Faceless. However, most of the cards are costed low, so I haven't run into any real problems with this. The reason for not running Unearthed Sentinel in this deck. You also get a nice synergy between Totems and the Thing from Below. It's also okay to use Hero Power. I've teched in Black Knight, removing one Azure Drake, because I've seen a lot of taunts played, but the deck is more than fine without him. Have fun and keep Hearthstoning Nosferatu. Now, we'll get into the playing of this deck in a few minutes, but what I wanted to zip back to was, I look forward to seeing your Fiery Bat Tundra Rhino combo deck on the ladder. I read that, and my mind went, Brawl. And I was like, no way this could work, because, yeah, Fiery Bat is quick to come out, but the Tundra Rhino, that's a 5 casting cost. I played it once just to see what would happen. Halfway through, my opponent conceded, because the Fiery Bats came out quick enough, did damage, and were out there, and I had them in my hand, so when the Tundra Rhino came out, I was able to cast more Fiery Bats, and, I mean, it was an annihilation I never expected to happen. It really worked so well. I was like, oh, it worked. So just, I know that was not how Nosferatu meant me to play that as a deck on the ladder,
but
let's really
face it, that's the only way you're
brawl.
Ever going. That's the only way you're ever really going to play those two cards together anyway. You've done it. You've made the Fiery
it's
Bat Tundra
deck.
Yes, you've made the Fiery Bat Tundra
yep.
Rhino combo. And the
I
deck
did.
Had nothing but those two cards. So you fulfilled all your promises. And
I have fulfilled my destiny. Okay. It was fun. But
so why don't we talk about that
let's
deck
Let's talk
then.
About this deck, yes. I do not have the Black Knight to substitute. Do you? And
no,
did you?
I didn't substitute anything. He said that he got this from a particular place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the email up. You want to say who it is? No. The name of the deck. The person who created it.
Loyan's Bloodlust Shaman. Loyan.
Okay, so I just named it Loyan, and I copied it verbatim from Hearthpwn, and I had all of the cards.
I did too.
So I just made it from that, and I actually didn't read the rest of the email.
So,
I had originally done this just to try it out because I needed a shaman deck, and with the extra deck slots we have it, I had assumed you were going to do it to do your normal play the deck thing, except you didn't see the email for a few days. So
right.
I ended up playing 4 games. Before we talk about the games, I'm going to read down the deck. Is that okay?
Okay, please do.
So there's pretty much 2 of everything unless I say otherwise. Rockbiter Weapon, Argent Squire, Tunnel Trog, Flame Juggler, Flame Tongue Totem, Totem Golem, Feral Spirit, Hex, Lightning Storm. There's only one Manatide Totem, two Tuskar Totemics, one Cult Master, two Flame Wreathed Faceless, a Doomhammer, single Bloodlust, two Azure Drakes, and two Things from Below. And, I don't know, I played one game immediately after I made this deck, and I won with it, and I don't even remember what class it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then tonight, before the show, I played three games in rapid succession, and I won them all. So that's 4-for-4 I went. And I don't remember what the first deck was that I won against, but the second one was a C'Thun Warrior, then a generic mage that had no expansion cards whatsoever. Maybe it was somebody who didn't have a big card supply or just found an old deck and decided to use it, but there wasn't a single expansion card from any expansion. They were all vanilla cards, and I beat him. And then a C'Thun Druid. That was the closest one. He was very taunt-heavy. I managed to overcome the taunts, and I won with that. This was a fun deck. This has just become my shaman deck. And I may tweak it a bit, but it's got everything it needs. And consequently, this is the exact same type of shaman I hate playing against. Because it's all totems, build up minions, block with the taunts, and then come over with a bloodlust for the big finish. And
I didn't ever have the bloodlust appear. I only played it once. I shouldn't say that. I played it once too, and I'm going to play it more. And I won immediately. I mean, very quickly. I know how to play the shaman, and that used to be my main class. So it was just like, ooh, this is how it used to feel. I haven't played it in so long. It feels good to be back. And it really, all the cards just work together so well. Yeah, folks,
don't
try
forget
this deck
the hero
out.
Power, because
when
you've got those totems out, normally they can't attack, but you have the Flame Tongue totem and you have the Rockbiter weapon, and suddenly your totems can attack.
Yeah, it was a good deck. I'm looking forward to playing it more this week. Definitely. It's going to be a keeper for a while.
So I guess we have we need to thank Nosferatu for bringing this to our attention, but let's also thank Loyan for creating the deck.
For creating it. Absolutely. So that was a lot of fun. So let's see. We got the shaman. We got the worst legend ever talked about. We did talk about the top twos. Do you want to start talking about cards? Do you want to talk about other things other than Hearthstone?
Let's talk about other cards, and then we'll do the news at the end.
All right. So looking at the cards, last week we did the Druid and we did the Hunter. So this week we're going to start with the Mage.
Okey-doke.
Let me get into my crafting so I can see all the ones I don't have. Because everybody knows that the ones that I have all of is the Priest, which go there. Want to go first?
Sure, I'll go with the one of two shaman cards that I, mage cards that I actually don't own from this expansion.
Me too.
I don't have this zero casting cost Forbidden Flame. I can't even tell if it's... Oh, it's an epic. Okay, that's why I don't have it. So it's zero casting cost Forbidden Flame. Spend all of your mana, because we know all the Forbiddens do that. Spend all your mana, deal that much damage to a minion. So it's got to be to a minion, but... that's pretty awesome. You know, you get like a 10-10 minion out there on turn 10 and just blast them away for zero mana cost. Well, no, it's not zero. It's 10.
That's a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Kind of.
It really is.
It won't take out Deathwing, but, you know, it'll do a lot of damage.
I mean, you can't say there's anything wrong with this card. You can't, because it doesn't cost you anything.
Well, it costs you everything.
But no... yeah.
It does. The casting cost becomes 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever.
It sits in your hand until you really need it.
Yes.
And then it's there for you and does what you need.
Yep.
So, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's a good card.
Mm-hmm. Then they jump right to 2 casting cost.
Yeah, no ones.
Yep. 2 casting cost, Cult Sorcerer. It's a 3/2 minion. Spell damage plus one, and after you cast a spell, give your C'Thun plus one, wherever it is. So yeah, this is, for a C'Thun deck, this is decent. It's got two health, so it's not going to be pinged off too quickly by your opponent. I.e. if you've got a mage or a druid against you, or a rogue against you, their one dagger or one hit or one fireball aren't going to really hurt you. But if you hold it in your hand long enough and you've cast other spells after you cast this, you can really be pumping up your little hidden C'Thun. So it's
And your spells. Yeah, and
yes, because spell damage is
for two is not bad anyway.
And it's got plus one spell damage no matter what.
Yep. So it's a good card.
It is.
And it's rare. So that's part of why it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to Shatter. Two casting costs. Destroy a frozen minion. Now, I never really went in for the freeze mage in the past. I tended to load up with fireballs and even the pyroblast, but I didn't really do a lot with freezing. I'd have the elemental that would freeze you when it hit you, of course the frostbolt, but I didn't go around specifically trying to freeze people with the cone of cold or anything like that until this card came around. Now I have a deck that's got some freeze mechanics, so that I could then use this to freeze them. Man, if you can freeze everything on the board, and that everything includes Ragnaros or C'Thun or whatever, and then for two more mana just obliterate it, why not?
So did you actually build this a freeze deck because of this card?
I'm not sure if I... When I had to convert all my cards to the new style, the standard. Remember, because obviously there are things in the old one that don't work. And I don't remember which ones I had to take out. But while I was taking stuff out, I was putting new stuff in from this expansion. I don't remember if it was that or if it was the pre-made recipes that I used that had this in it. But I know I have one deck with this in it, and it's come in handy a few times.
Cool.
I may have...
Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, God.
Cool, yeah. I may have the... what's the one that does the random... Yogg-Saron. I may have this in my Yogg-Saron deck, because Yogg-Saron ends up casting random spells for each spell that was cast that game.
Mm-hmm.
So this may be in that one to help pump him up.
I saw that card with in top two also.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was it paired with?
It was in the Druid deck with the...
Can't be in a Druid deck.
Huh?
It can't be in a Druid deck.
Wait a minute.
It's a mage spell.
It is a mage spell. Okay, then there's another one that casts a spell for everyone you cast. Who's that?
That's Yogg-Saron.
Then what the hell was I thinking of?
I don't know what you're thinking of. You've got me utterly confused now.
Hold on a second.
Yogg-Saron is neutral.
I have to figure this out. If Yogg-Saron is neutral, then why can't it be in a Druid deck?
I thought you were talking about Shatter, the card we're reviewing
now. No, I was talking about Yogg-Saron. He was one of the... Keep up with
me! Be specific, woman!
Keep up! Yogg-Saron was with Innervate. So the guy cast, like, I don't know, five Innervates and got Yogg-Saron out. And all of a sudden there were spells flying all over the place, and he pretty much killed everything on his side of the board and conceded.
Yeah, that's the problem with Yogg-Saron and why I would never use it in that two-card deck. Because twice, my Yogg-Saron has killed himself. It's like, do five damage to a minion, and he does it
to
himself.
Boom, he kills himself, yes.
Assassinate to himself.
All right, so Shatter's a decent card, so you actually are using it. That's pretty cool. Ah, sorry, I did it again.
All right, why don't you move on to the next one that's not
Twilight
so cool.
Twilight Flame Caller. Three casting cost, 2/2. Battle cry, deal one damage to all enemy minions.
Now remember I said earlier when I was talking about my Dr. Boom?
This is a mage's fan of knives.
That there are a lot of spells out there and minions that do one damage.
That'll do it.
I think this was one of them. He cast this and my bombs went off.
Yeah, but as I said, it's a mage's fan of knives, because basically you're dealing one to every minion, enemy minion out there. And for three casting costs, you got a 2/2 creature. Again, not a bad card.
Nope. And especially because it's enemy minions, not all minions,
right, not
like
all minions.
A whirlwind.
Yeah, I think this is a decent card. Definitely. Mage cards this expansion are pretty nice.
Yep. And actually, all of them for all classes have been pretty nice.
Except for Nat. Because Nat just stinks.
Well, that's a neutral, though.
I know.
That's not a class card. Okay, so I'll do the next one. Demented Frostcaller. After you cast a spell, freeze a random enemy. So that's not a battle cry or anything. It's simply giving you this ability over and over again. After you cast a spell, freeze a random enemy. How about using that with Shatter? And he's a 2/4 minion with a 4 casting cost. So 4 health. He's going to stick around for a few turns anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, he doesn't do a lot of damage. Doesn't need to. It's only
right.
2, but every little 2 helps.
And so, when you use your Shatter, you freeze another enemy.
Huh?
When you use your Shatter, if
right.
you've got him out, you freeze another enemy.
Yep, it's a chain of yep. events, chain reaction, because
yep.
Shatter is a spell, and it's a rare, and it's
decent.
I'm not going to say pretty cool. I'll say it's groovy, man.
Oh my god. All right. Cabalist's Tome. 5 casting cost. Add 3 random mage spells to your hand.
I'm now seeing this used a lot.
There's so much. Yeah. I don't know. There's so many more things I could do with 5 mana.
Than to draw 3 spells?
Well,
mage spells, not neutral spells?
I don't know.
So you want mage spells to feed that Demented
Frostcaller?
Maybe
because I don't have it. I can't play with it to see if I like it.
Well,
picture
this. Demented Frostcaller freezes a minion after every spell. Now you cast Cabalist's Tome and well, that's a spell, so a minion gets frozen. Not even a minion, it says enemy, so it could be the player, which really sucks if you're a warrior and you've got a weapon that you can't use, or a rogue for that matter, or a shaman for that matter. And then you get 3 more spells, which you can feed to that Demented Frostcaller. 5 casting costs for 3 spells is really not too shabby.
Okay. I'm not sure. Again, I don't have it, so I can't test it to see if I changed my mind.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm using it or not. I may be, but I haven't been playing a lot of Mage since the expansion came out. But I think it's a pretty good card, and I have seen multiple players use it against me.
Hmm. Next one?
Was that me?
It is, because I was the last tone.
Servant of Yogg-Saron. 5 casting costs, 5/4 minion. Battle cry. Cast a random spell that costs 5 or less. Targets chosen randomly. So he's kind of like a mini Yogg-Saron.
Yeah. He could hit your own creature. He can call out something. I mean, a random spell? Technically, the shaman wolves are a spell. So you can suddenly have 2 wolves with taunt on your side of the board.
Or you can give your enemy +4/+4.
Exactly.
You know, it's...
And taunt. Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's a crapshoot.
It is. Yogg-Saron is just a giant wild card. Because when
yeah.
you play him, he's going to be letting off like 8 to 10 spells, possibly. And there's a chance that you could win the game with it. But this one, it's like a 50-50. For the one spell he's going to cast. So I wouldn't trust it enough to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
I kind of agree. The next one. Faceless Summoner. 6 casting costs, 5/5 creature. The battle cry is summon a random 3 cost minion. I actually like this one. I mean, you know, you've got all these other cards that call out a 1/1 boar or a 1/1 murloc. This is causing a 3-cost minion to come out, and that minion may have abilities that work off of your hero power or, you know, whatever. A 3-cost minion is nothing to sneeze at, and it's a 5/5 minion itself. It's not bad. So I think this is a good card.
I agree, and I see it a lot,
and was it somebody just used it against me today too? Yeah, that's a pretty decent card. 5/5 for six, and then get a free,
and then you get a
three cost minion. Not too bad.
Nope, I like it, and I have two of them. Well, they're commons.
Yeah. Yeah, so for a common, it's really not bad.
Yep, absolutely.
So should I do the last one?
Please do.
All right, this is a legendary, which I do not own. Anomalous. So that's from one of the last expansions. Not Warlords of Draenor, but the previous expansion's raid. I don't remember. I'm confused. Anyway.
Pandaria?
Yeah, I think it may have been one of the Pandaria dungeons. 8 casting cost, 8/6. Death Rattle. Deal 8 damage to all minions.
Ow!
Holy crap.
Ow! I don't know. First of all, he has to die, obviously, to do this, so it's not like he's going to kill himself. But 8 damage to all your own minions as well. He's got 8 attack power.
Yeah,
and 6
pretty
health.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, so he does come across pretty strong.
Do you even want to kill him?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the big question. Your opponent's going to be staring at this going, I really freaking wish I had a silence.
Yeah, Iron Beak Owl, this guy.
Yeah. Not this expansion. Is the owl Iron Beak Owl?
That's a standard basic card.
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah, so you want to Hex this, you want to Sheep this, you want to Iron Beak Owl this if you possibly can, if it's used against you. Because you sure don't want that Death Rattle going off.
Oh, you know what? He's not from a raid. I'm thinking of somebody with a similar name. He's one of the bosses from the Nexus. In Kul'Dara, the Nexus.
I don't remember him.
In Burning Crusade?
Oh, he's the one that behind him had that thing you had a tune. It had a quest behind him. Yes, I know who
it
is.
Yeah, and there were these...
The big purple guy.
Yeah.
And, yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, he's a decent card. I don't have him. I wouldn't go crazy to craft him like I'm thinking about that druid card. But I wouldn't cry and say this card sucks like I did with Nat. I didn't cry.
I think if I had him, I'd stick him in a mage deck.
Yeah, I probably would. Just to try him out.
I like Ronan better, but I don't think he's bad.
Ronan's an awesome
card. He might be one of those cards that sounds good and then you put him in the deck and it turns out he's not, but I don't know. You play against a player who's got a crap load of minions out there, and then kaboom.
Yeah, you just gotta have to be careful too, because you can wipe yourself out.
There's not a lot of minions that could withstand taking 8 damage.
Yes, true. Moving on to the Paladin.
Okay.
Again, we start with a 0 casting cost card that I don't have, and it's another Forbidden. This one is Forbidden Healing. Spend all your mana. Yeah.
Just let me interject this. It would not take out the Blood of the Ancient One, which everybody wants to kill on sight. The Blood of the Ancient One is, remember, a 999, that if there's two of them, it becomes the 30-30.
Ysera, it wouldn't... Oh, that would be a bad thing, yes. Ysera also wouldn't kill with Ysera.
Right.
There are cards out there it wouldn't kill, so that's true. But in most gameplay, it will really hurt your opponent.
Absolutely. So we're doing Paladin now?
Uh-huh. So the Forbidden Healing. 0 casting cost. Spend all your mana to restore twice that much health. So on turn 10, you can give yourself 20 health.
Now, how do I have two of this one, and I don't have any of the other ones?
Spend all your mana. I don't know, but I don't have any of these Forbiddens. I guess that's because they're Forbidden.
Yeah, a player used this against me the other day, and I was like, what?
I'm surprised it's not a priest spell.
I had you almost dead. Why? Paladins heal all the time. But come on, lay on hands?
It just seems like a priest thing. You know how we're always cursing out the priests?
Well, they can't give everything to the priests. They're both healing classes.
So yes, it's a good card. Good card.
Yep.
If you've got it, use it. I don't have it. So yeah, I won't.
You use this end game, use all 10 mana, you get 20 health back.
Yeah.
The only thing is you kind of lose your turn. So whatever it was that was pummeling you is just going to pummel you again.
But, not if you killed it the time before that. I mean, you could be down to nothing and clear the board and have stuff.
There are games when you've got so many horrible minions on the other side that your priority is...
hit the concede button.
The priority is killing those minions rather than just healing yourself to have it done again. Are you, like, in another world right now?
Alright. Go to the next card.
Divine Strength for one casting cost. Give a minion +1/+2. This reminds me of Unholy Strength from Magic the Gathering. I think it does the exact same thing.
Yeah, it does. It's a very simple, basic card. It's common. It's decent because it's one casting cost, 1/2 card. Sometimes you just want normal, plain, ordinary, and that's what this card is, but it's a good normal, plain, ordinary.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I mean,
casting cost.
Yeah, one casting cost. It's not that the card itself is bad. It's that there are too many other better cards to use. It's just a little buff. It's not a big buff. It's just a tiny little buff. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people disagree with me, including you. But it's just... part of the cost of the card is... the room in the deck, and there's just so many better one casting cost cards out there than this one, so I would use something else. That's why it's a common, because it is a decent card, but it's not like a great card.
Well,
so
what about the next card?
I mean, I think it's a totally reasonable
for one casting cost
common card. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the next card doesn't impress me that much. The Selfless Hero, one casting cost, same amount of casting cost. The Death Rattle is to give a random friendly minion Divine Shield. Well, usually when you're casting this guy, he's going to die fast because he's only got one health. He's a 2/1 creature. And I don't know, I kind of see with my luck, he's going to die and I'm not going to have another minion out there.
Well, you keep saying he. Can't you see that's a female Draenei?
Okay, it's a female Draenei. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of Divine Shield decks that have come out since this expansion. Haven't you seen them?
Yes.
This goes well with them.
Yes, but again, I'm thinking that there's a very good chance when I'm playing it, that I won't have another minion out when this guy dies. Or this chick dies, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you don't cast her on the first turn.
Right.
You don't cast her on the first turn for that very reason.
With my luck, I would. It's an okay card. What do you think of it? Do you love it?
I don't love it, but if I was running a Divine Shield Paladin deck, then yeah, I would use it. I think it's a theme card. There's lots of theme cards. Mm. I think it's just kind of okay. You know, I might pick it in an arena if the other two options were crappy. But, I think it... What you're saying right there.
You just said you'd pick it if everything else was crappy.
Because
that's not really
designed,
saying a lot for the card.
It's got a niche design.
Right.
And if
you're
playing that particular niche kind of deck, then yes, it's good. Almost every card in this game is good at some point. And this card is one of them, but not in your typical generic deck. If it's towards the Divine Shield theme, then yes, I think it's a pretty decent low casting cost card.
Okay.
But I'll probably never use it, personally.
Mm-hmm. But I would use Divine Strength, saying.
Okay. How often do you play Paladin?
Well, that's the thing, I don't.
Yeah, so you probably won't use Divine Strength ever.
All right. You're up for the next one.
Epic! Vilefin Inquisitor. First of all, I love the artwork. It's a really cool looking Murloc. And it is a Murloc. It's labeled as a Murloc. He's a one casting cost, 1/3, like paladins need another Murloc. Battle cry. Your hero power becomes summon a 1/1 Murloc. As much as I hate Murloc decks, I just love that idea.
It's hysterical.
It is. And so, I may have stuck him into one of my paladin decks.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, there is a recipe in the game for a paladin deck that's a Murloc deck.
Is there? They must have taken it from the shaman.
Yeah.
Because it used to be a shaman deck.
No, it's different. Hold on. Because I think I have it. It's called Tide of Murlocs. And I believe that card is in it.
I have two of them.
Yes. It has one of them in that deck. Anyway, I played that deck once and it was a lot of fun. I don't remember if I won or lost.
It's a 1/3.
I don't remember if I won or lost, but it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 1/3 card, so even there, yes, it's got a silly battle cry. You can't undo it once it's done either.
Well, here's the thing. Instead of summoning out Silverhand recruits, you're summoning out Murlocs.
Exactly. And if you've got a Murloc deck, then it's a lot easier. You've got, we'll talk about it in a few minutes, you've got some cards that pump Silverhand recruits, but you've got more cards out there that pump Murlocs.
Yeah, like Murloc, like the Tide Callers we discussed earlier.
Mm-hmm. The next card is two casting cost, a light in the darkness. Discover a minion and give it a +1/+1. It doesn't say discover a 1/1 minion. It doesn't say a two casting cost minion. This is discover a minion. It could be
so you
can
end up with a 5/13 Ysera.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a decent card.
I'll agree.
Yep.
Discover cards are always great because you can discover something that you can't normally put in your deck.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And you get
to choose because if a really crappy one comes up, yeah. If a crappy card comes up, you know, you've got your choice.
Oh, speaking of something you can't have in your deck, today I ended up with a Tyrion Fordring in a non-paladin deck.
Uh-huh.
I stole it with a Faceless Manipulator, and then I Iron Beak Owled his.
Ow!
He wasn't too happy.
Nice. No.
Anyway, back to the other Paladin cards. There's a weapon. It's called Rallying Blade. And it's a 3 casting cost, 3/2 blade. It doesn't say if it's a sword or a dagger. It looks like a sword. Paladins don't use daggers. Battle Cry. Give +1/+1 to your minions with Divine Shield.
Right.
There's that word again. Divine Shield.
Yeah, so after you've already killed yourself and given your opponent, one of your other minions Divine Shield because your selfless hero was selfless, you can then give it a +1/+1 with, yeah.
Yeah. But it's with all of them. So again, throw a bunch of them out.
Again, you would not play this card if you weren't playing a Divine Shield deck. It really wouldn't be worth it. There are other cards that are better out there for 3 mana.
Well, I have a warrior minion, Malarak or something like that, that gives me random weapons. It could conceivably give me that as a random weapon. Today, however,
that's true.
It gave me the Cursed Blade as a random weapon.
Oof.
And my opponent's side was filled with taunts, so I had no choice but to try to get rid of the taunt, and of course it did damage to me and double damage because... So you know how you were saying how terrible Cursed Sword is, and I said it's good in certain circumstances? It really sucks when you get it as a random weapon.
Yeah.
Late game.
And guess what the next card does?
I know. It's the Steward of Darkshire.
Yep.
A 3 casting cost, 3/3 minion, and whenever you summon a 1 health minion, give it Divine Shield. Wow. Something that gives Divine Shield. That's really cool.
Whenever you summon a 1 health minion. Now, if you're using your hero power and summoning 1/1 Murlocs.
Or Silverhang recruits.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Just, yep.
So you just keep this thing hidden behind a taunt or something, and then, you know, pop out those silver hands that become 1/1s with divine shields.
Yeah, she'd have a target. She would have a target on her.
Definitely. I played against a paladin deck that was divine shields everywhere, and it was so annoying. And I think he won, or she.
Why don't you read the next one? I will. Five casting costs. Stand. Well, I guess it goes because I did a light in the darkness. That I go stand against the darkness. Summon 5/1/1 silver hand recruits. There they are.
To be played right after Steward of Darkshire.
Yes, exactly. So they would all get divine shields.
That's a lot of divine shields.
Yes, it is. Yep. And then if you cast your Battlecry Rallying Blade, then all your summon 5/1/1 Silverhand recruits, you'd have 5/2/2 creatures with divine shield. See?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That being said, let's talk about the last legendary of the night.
Whose turn is it? Yours or mine?
Yours.
Ragnaros, Light Lord. I played against one of these today. It's an 8/8/8, just like Ragnaros, but at the end of your turn, restore 8 health to a damage-friendly character. And it did that to itself. See, it's random. You don't get to decide who gets healed. Sometimes it heals a minion, sometimes it heals you. But it healed my opponent. I said, I can't have this happen, so... Just so happens I was holding an Iron Beak Owl for a special occasion.
And this was it.
And that was the special occasion.
This is a hysterical card. Because it's just so...
It's the irony.
Twisted, yeah. And I've got to flavor text it. I'm sorry. What happens when you try and corrupt a corrupted Fire Lord? Double negative, insect! I love that insect. I can't do it in his voice, though. Do it. Go for it.
No, that's quite all right. But... This is a good card. It's a good minion.
It is a good legendary. See? It's like a good conversation.
Yes.
That wraps up the card talk for the night. We're going to save the priest and the rogue for next week.
Are we going to be on NPR? Card talk? No, they had a program called Car Talk. Never mind.
No, I got it. It's just... No.
Okay.
So...
Blizzard News.
Legion. Opened up beta. And just before beta opened up, what did I discover?
That you had... Who knows how long been in alpha and didn't know it.
I was like, no! So yes, I had been in alpha. I just was too dumb to realize it. So I jumped right in as soon as beta started and started playing there. And haven't gotten very far.
Beta crashes a lot. Buggy. Well, and yeah. Dalaran never has any people in it. Everything is phased out most of the time.
But we are both in beta now, so we're trying it out. We'll let you know. As usual, it's a WoW game, so of course it's awesome. And it's buggier than hell right now because it's still in beta, and that's kind of the whole purpose of everything.
Well, you know, in Alpha, I did a Demon Hunter, and then I started playing the Hunter through the questing areas. But when I got my character killed in a place and couldn't find the body, and it wasn't telling me where the body was. So I'm like, I guess this is dead for a while. I'll go try one of those outlaw rogues. Oh, and it is so fun. So anybody who's considering playing an outlaw rogue, give it a try. It's fun.
You couldn't find the angel?
No, there was no angel. The graveyard had no angel. I couldn't even res on the spot.
I hope you reported that.
If it's still like that, next time I go in, I will. No angel at the graveyard. And no way to find my body. And the body died because I accidentally went into a zone that was max level. So it's like one hit from an imp and I was dead.
No. So
it reminded me of EverQuest.
NeverQuest, yes. Okay. Let's see, what else?
Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm, Chromie. yet another Warcraft character coming to Heroes of the Storm. The cutest little gnome in the world that turns into a very large bronze dragon.
No, she's a bronze dragon that turns into a gnome. Let's get it straight. You're doing it backwards.
Which came first?
We're just used to seeing her as a gnome.
Yeah. Which came first, though, the gnome or the dragon? Never mind. It's like a chicken or the egg. Get it? It was.
I get it. I get it.
Never mind. Okay, so we have a new video that we're going to be watching for Overwatch. This is dedicated to Hanzo, I think, and his brother. It's 8 minutes
Genji.
Long. We were going to watch it. Yes, we were going to watch it before the show, but we realized that we didn't have time before the show. So anybody is interested in their awesome videos, because I love the Overwatch videos.
They're pretty cool.
I love the characters that they've created. They are awesome. And I could watch an Overwatch movie in cartoon. I could, absolutely.
However, on the flip side, I did not find the comic book on Sinetra very appealing. The print on the comic was so tiny that I had to put my face right up to the screen. I even tried using magnifier glasses. They're just too freaking small.
You couldn't change
and that was on my PC. Imagine if I were trying to read it on my iPad. So they need to do something about that.
Can't you scroll? You know, sometimes when you hit your control and your wheel, you can make it bigger. No? That's sad.
Some listener will probably know a secret way and write us about it, but it was not enjoyable. And I really didn't care for the artwork in it either. They've done some really good comics and some really bad comics, and as much as I love Overwatch, I had to list that as one of the worst comics.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so definitely watch the video for Overwatch. Definitely there's a video out there for Chromie, too, if you want to see what she could do when you play Heroes of the Storm. She's going to be fun. And I think she might be coming out this week. I think she's actually coming out this week. And you know what? Knowing us, we're talking about how she's coming out this week, and she's already out.
She's out?
No, I don't know. I'm saying knowing us.
No, we couldn't find her again, so I'm sure she's not out yet. It doesn't matter. We're just letting you know that either she's there or she's going to be there. And since she's a manipulator of time anyway, it doesn't matter.
She might be there and may not.
She'll just show up when she feels like it.
And that ability is also in the game. She time stops people, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, Tracer's out there too. I don't know if we ever mentioned
Tracer
it.
Tracer came out.
If you pre-ordered or got the Origins version of Overwatch, then you can play Tracer there too. So, were there any other Blizzard games we wanted to talk about, or was that all of them?
No, I guess that's it.
Something happened with StarCraft that if you watched a tournament, you'd get a free decal, but apparently that happened last weekend, so no point. Because StarCraft always gets the coolest of the prizes. Not a mount or a pet or a new character. You get a decal.
That sounds kind of like Diablo. Well, no, Diablo gets wings.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Diablo gets fun stuff.
Okay, that's
Diablo
true.
Is in Season 6. I think we mentioned that last game.
Yep,
so,
we did.
Last turn. So why don't we wrap it up?
Okay, wrapping it up. You can find us online at awohearthstone.com. You can find us and download us on hollowsweetmedia.com. You can follow us on Twitter at aworthyopponent. Listen to us on Monday nights at twitch.tv/hollowsweetmedia. Send us an email. We'd love to hear your plays of the week, your embarrassing moments, or let me play with your deck by sending it to us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can download us most of the time on iTunes. We've been having a little technical difficulty lately, but we are there. You can find us on Facebook, AWO Hearthstone. You can find us on Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Hollowsweet Media, Xander and Antita. Thank you, guys. They are our sponsors and our people behind the curtains. And thanks to Awesome City Limits, as always, for the theme music that you let us play of yours. And Micmac, who is still sending us Twitch feeds of the game. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, of course, to our listeners who let us know that they still loved us, even though we took a month off. Have a great week, everybody. Happy hearthing.
Bye, all.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.